Welcome back.
This is Hova.
And the Bear.
Before we get started with today's podcast, I just want to let you know all the platforms that you can follow us on now. Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. All at the Hova and the Bear with the H and the B capitalized.
Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our handle is Hova and the Bear with capital H and a capital B.
And don't forget, guys, once we get 50,000 followers, we'll be doing a face reveal, so you'll get to see who the actual Hova and the Bear are.
Also, feel free to comment, message, or anything on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, so that way you can interact with us. Let us know your opinions or also ideas on things you would like for us to talk about. Today, we're going to be talking about a more serious note. We're going to talk about parent shaming, parenting, and parenting skills, and addiction, disease, or not.
So fuck it, let's talk about this shit.
Alright guys, to start off, let's talk about parent shaming. Like, I don't like to see other parents shaming another parent just because their skills or ideas may be different from theirs.
Yeah. Or even, like, if one parent makes the kid do chores and the other parent's like, no.
Yeah. I agree to chores because I feel like
it helps. To a certain extent.
Definitely to a certain extent. Like, overdoing it to where the kids do all... Where you sit high and mighty and don't lift a finger, but your children do everything else and you only clean, like, let's say, your bedroom. I don't agree to that.
No, me either.
But I do agree to chores. I think chores help a child understand as they grow what it is to maintain a home.
And responsibilities.
Exactly. Like, you don't want to go to your child's house one day and they be a complete hoarder.
Yeah.
You know? Because they wasn't taught clean, they don't know what they're doing, or you have to come. Like, I don't want to be that parent who has to go do my 30-year-old laundry because they don't do it.
Or they don't know how to do it.
Yeah, no. That's not happening. Yeah. So I would rather see a kid doing chores, but light chores, not heavy chores. And I don't agree to the older they get, the harder the chores. I don't agree to that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are a stay-at-home parent, and you don't do anything, you don't do nothing to help bring in the income to the home, I don't care if you're father or mother, your children should not be doing so many dishes that it's unbearable for them to want to stand there and even do them. But it makes them miserable to come home because they have to think about the idea of you never touching a dish or staying out with friends or family or anything like that. That's not a good thing, I don't feel like.
No, I don't think so either. Or even... like you're not doing anything and just waiting for the kids to get home from school.
Yeah. But definitely agree you shouldn't shame another parent just because you don't want your kid to do chores. Shouldn't shame another parent and tell them that it's child labor.
Yeah.
I don't, when I think about parent shaming, I think about parents who are people who don't agree with children who get whooped. You know, not beat, but whooped.
Yeah.
You don't beat your child. You don't. Oh, I hope you don't beat your child, but you don't whoop your child, you know, and you only put them in timeout and stuff like that. Okay, that's your choice of a parent to do that. You shouldn't shame the other parent because it's more accurate for them children to understand that, okay, I crossed the line this time, you know? Yeah. They don't want to test those waters or whatever to figure out what it's like. Your children know what boundaries they can and cannot cross due to the way that you parent.
Yeah.
So, I don't think any parent should abuse their kids.
Because there's a very big difference between whooping your kid to discipline them and beating your child.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes no's not always work.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes telling your child no and the little slap on the hand doesn't really work, you know. But I don't know how much I agree to that misbehaved kids in public are children to parents who don't punish their children physically. I don't really feel like I agree to that.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to, you know, say that I do because I don't. I mean, you may whoop the hell out of your kid if they don't listen. But that doesn't mean that the person standing next to you doesn't whoop their child or whoops their child and they're not going to act the same, you know? They could. They could act the... Both kids could act the same. Because children are going to act out anyways. That's what they're best at. You know, they're crossing those lines.
You gotta test the waters.
Yep. You gotta see how far I can go. Which is just about what it is like because you gotta understand how far you can go before you know, sink or swim.
Yeah.
You know?
You actually get in trouble for doing what you was doing.
Yeah. I don't feel like parents should be shamed in any manner unless they are neglecting or abusing your child Every parent has a right to be different from the way they raise their child. Parent shaming is not the way to go to make another parent feel ashamed. And it doesn't just stop there. It's not just about cringe. It's not just about where parent shaming is there. It's also the parent's skills or the way that they are raising their children, you know, or how they're, you know, trying to raise their child. You know, like if they're struggling as a parent, they don't need you there downing them, you know? We see people all the time putting another person down because they're not well enough on their feet yet. Life threw them two curveballs, three curveballs here and there, and you know, somewhere along the lines they had kids, you know?
Yeah.
I think if you're a family member to that person or a friend to that person, instead of putting them down, encourage them to stand up. Don't let them give up.
Yeah, most definitely don't let them give up.
Yeah.
Especially if they're a single parent.
Yeah.
Like, because that could be the hardest.
Yeah. But for skills and stuff, I think, like, you know, what is it that you, listeners, what's some of your techniques to help your children, you know, for calming when they're upset when they're little, or, you know, helping them go to sleep at night, stuff like that. Feel free to message us and tell us that, because we'd love to share it with the other parents that are, like, all the parents that are around us.
Or even teenagers, stuff about teenagers as well.
Yeah. See, and that's something else, too, is a lot of parents get shamed also for their children, being sexually active teens. That's not fair. That's the teenagers. Most teenagers are sexually active. And it's not the parents' fault that the child might have, you know, misused their birth control, or something could have happened. They could have been safe and something happened and they still wound up pregnant. It's not fair to make the parent or that child feel like shit.
Yeah. You know? Like you're a bad parent because your kid got a chick knocked up or your daughter got knocked up. No. Your child could have been on birth control and maybe missed one day.
Some allergy medicine.
Yeah, took some allergy medicine.
Condom could have broke. Could have switched birth controls because one wasn't working. Anything like that can happen. Shouldn't shame another parent for that. But when it comes to parenting, I think that hands-in parents, they tend to have like well-adjusted kids.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are all in. They want to know what they're doing. They want to help with what they're doing. They want to encourage and strive for that child to do the best they can every single day. Yeah. And they're in it to know what's going on with their child. Not overbearing.
Yeah, I was going to say, some people confuse that with being a helicopter mom.
Yeah, or dad.
Yeah, or dad.
Definitely. I think that, you know, when it, like, if you break it down, single parents, mother or father, whatever, their parenting skills are a lot different than parentings of co-parents. You know, people that are co-parenting in the same house or co-parenting in separate households.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people really understand what it's like for a single parent.
Right.
You know, growing up in a single parent household for a little while and understanding that my father had to ask for help from other family members just so he could help take care of his girls. You know, that takes a lot for somebody to have to reach out for that help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though mom was only a single parent to one child, I mean, it was still a struggle for her because she worked multiple jobs and was only got me at night.
Yeah.
When I was asleep.
Yeah, and then misses out on the child too.
Yeah. But I was little. Like, I was a baby. Yeah. So, can't really remember that.
Yeah, but she was still there. She still helped you with school and stuff like that when she could. Yeah.
She missed the milestones here and there, but not all of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I guess in my opinion about it, when it comes to parenting, I think that some parents can go overboard with how they're raising their children, how strict they can be. Like, the tighter the chains, the wilder they're going to act, and the more rambunctious they're going to get when they get off those chains.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I feel like, if anything, when you're adjusting how you're doing things with your children and stuff, or even your child's child, like, you know, you see if you're a grandparent, and your child is a single parent, don't ever make that parent feel like they are a mistake or that their kids are a mistake, and that if they would have never had them, those kids, you know, their life would be completely different, because that's not fair.
No, even if you don't agree with the way that they're raising their kids, I mean, you raised them, I mean, some people say you raised them in a different time.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, technically that's true, because you raised them, like, when, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Let's say that. And these kids, they're raising them 2017, 2018, 2019, things are different. I mean, I understand parenting is parenting. You're going to do one thing, you're going to do what you want to do as a parent, yeah. But
you don't need somebody down your back about how you're not doing your good enough job or that you didn't. Even if yourself was a single parent, that's not how you done it.
Yeah.
You know, don't take in consideration of how, where you had help as that single parent taking care of your child, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I get peeved off about that shit. Like, don't make your child feel like a bad parent because they're struggling in a different way than you were struggling when you had them as a child.
Because everything was cheaper then than it is compared to now. I mean, most things.
Yeah.
Because everything, like, the price has gone up on shit.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's not just that, though. Like, if you're not willing to help that child in any way, shape, or form when it comes to needing help to get a job, if you're not even willing to go pick up the kid from daycare because...
Or school.
Yeah, or school, because you're off work. You're not at work at that time, but...
You just want to relax.
Yeah, you don't feel like getting the fuck up and doing that, and then tell your child, well, this is where you're going to stay, you know, yeah. Until something changes. That's not fucking right. You're a parent. How do you look at your child like that and do that? Like, I mean, this is one of the things that really keeps me off. It really does.
Yeah.
And I just see it as, you know, if you were being more of a helping hand, that child would be able to do more as a parent than you're allowing them to be. And it's crazy to think, you know?
Yeah.
Some people don't ask to be single parents. Sometimes things just happen in life and it's not fair.
Yeah. Some big things could happen to their spouse. Or
they just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so just intervene. Life intervene. Maybe y'all were good at just being a couple for fooling around and then the pressure of a child just freaked out the other person, you know? Yeah. So they took off. You know, it's not fair to make that person feel like shit because the cards on the table are different from them than it was for you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't like that. Like, you could go at that a different way. Like, be helpful and be a helpful manner. Like, help this person, you know?
Yeah.
I don't ever like for anybody around me to look down on somebody who needs help because every now and again, everybody in life needs help.
Yeah. Every once in a while, because shit gets hard.
It really does. And so for any single parents that are out there, you know, you want us to talk more about it, like I said, reach out, comment, or whatever, but, you know, don't give up on yourself. If you're working hard and you're doing everything you can and life seems to be four walls around you, don't give up. Just keep fucking pushing.
Yeah. Sooner than later, you're going to break down those fucking walls.
Yeah. And you got people in your corner that you may not even know. They're rooting for you either way you go about it. That's just my opinion about it. I feel like that's the hardcore truth and the way to go about it is don't give up no matter what anybody says. You will find something that fits for your lifestyle with your kids. And some people don't even have the opportunity to ask anybody for help because they really are alone and they struggle. Don't put that parent down. They don't deserve it. That takes us back to parent shaming. You know, don't do that.
Yeah. Especially if you're a grandparent who doesn't, like, get your grandkids. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, when I was growing up, my grandparents would get me on the weekends because I had to spend time with them.
Yeah.
Because they lived a little further away from me.
Yeah. Well, you know, we stayed with mine and your grandparents.
Yeah.
When we was kids, they helped our parents, you know, as they worked two or three different shifts or, you know, rotating shifts. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they worked first and third, or they worked first and second, and then one parent might work second, third, you know, just going off until you know they got on their feet.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you're a grandparent and you're not wanting to help your child get up, like, where they can stand on their feet with your grandchild.
Yeah. Then I don't think you should be able to see the grandchild.
No, I don't either. Or even, like, want to spend time with them. Like, you do when the mom or the dad's there, but then you don't want to spend all the time with them.
Yeah. Like, it's a godsend to do so.
Yeah.
And I understand not everybody likes little kids, you know? I get that.
I understand that too, but it's your grandkids.
When that grandkid gets older and can't spend time with you and chooses not to because you chose not to when they were smaller, that's your fault.
Yeah. Don't be calling them a bad grandchild.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or saying that they hate you, which I mean, you could because you didn't spend time with them when they were little, but...
Kids know love because they're shown love.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the absence of love is there, they're going to know that the absence of love is there.
Yeah.
So, either way you go. So, single parents, stay strong. Keep fighting. Do what you got to do. You know, stay on your feet no matter how hard it seems like you can't get up to them. But we're going to talk a little bit about addiction and whether or not it's a disease or not. It also falls in with our parenting segment too, because we, most people today see the fact that kids are neglected due to drug abuse.
Yeah.
You know, and it's scary to witness firsthand. And there's not, I don't feel like there, in my case, I don't really feel like there's a lot of support for the loved ones who are surrounded by the person or the people that are on drugs. You know, even though it damages their life too, it brings that, it breaks all kinds of barriers, hurts that person.
Yeah.
So,
do you think it's an addiction or a disease?
Well, I know it's an addiction.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not I feel like it's a disease or not. I feel like it's 50-50. Okay. I think it's based on the person and how the person's mental capacity is to handle the addiction.
Yeah.
I think anybody in the world can overcome anything when they set their mind to it and understand that there's people there supporting them and that they're, you know, they got their own willpower. Whether or not it's family or an AA meeting or any, like a drug abuse meeting or whatever, I don't know what those are called. But anything, like if there's a group, a support group there, if they help you keep your mind to it, you can conquer the world. You know, I think it just depends on the person.
Yeah, their willpower to want to change.
But I think some people can go through life and do drugs and be like, I don't like it. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't want to do them again. I think some people go through life and it's like, I never want to touch them because I don't want to even try to imagine the damage that it can do.
They witnessed it and they don't want to go near it because of what they witnessed.
Yep. And then you have those who are like, who grew up in the matter.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a family and you're on drugs or you're addicted to drugs and you allow for your children to see this, that's going to go one or two ways. That child's going to grow up and be like, it's okay to do drugs, but that child's going to grow up and say, I never want to fucking touch drugs.
Yeah.
And in some cases, in most cases, it seems like it's more for the child to see it's easy. If a child sits and sees their parent snorting pills two or three times a day because they would rather the child see it than hide it from them, that child has a chance of growing up with the mindset of thinking, I can do drugs. It's okay. You know, as long as they know, it's okay. I don't think that's the proper way to do that.
Or even denying that your child has an addiction problem or a drug problem or alcohol problem.
I think when you go through the stages of addiction with somebody else, and you witness it, you don't want to believe it at first. So I think denial is there. Like, it's okay to be there as long as you come to terms and know that it is there.
Yeah. But if you keep denying it after years and years and years, then... Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, don't help supply the addiction. No. Like, if you know that child's coming to you for money, grandchild, or the friend is coming to you for money because you know that that's what they're going to do, don't give them money.
Or go with them and get what they need. Do not hand them the money.
Yeah. If they call you and say, I need $100 for groceries, go buy $100 worth of groceries for them. Don't give them the money.
Or, like, diapers for their kids. Go buy the diapers.
Yeah. So, definitely. Because it's not your fault if you give them the money and that's what they spend it on. But if you can take it away from them just a little bit, it's okay.
Yeah.
But full-blown, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Addicts are going to do whatever it takes to get that money.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, they'll get caught by the legal system and put in jail or something like that. And then, you know, they may go to rehab here and there, but I think the hardest thing for people to understand is forced soberness is not always going to stay intact.
No.
Once the force field's gone, it leaves them open and bare and scared.
Vulnerable.
Exactly. And very vulnerable to the idea of whether or not they're going to do it again or not.
Especially, I think it's better if they, like, leave the town, like if they was living in like a certain town where they get everything like every day.
Yeah.
And then if they just leave that town, I mean, granted, yes, they could still like come back.
Yeah.
But like if they went further enough away, then it would be harder for them to come back to that area, like repetitively.
Yeah.
To come and get it.
Don't defend your child to everybody either.
No.
Just to make that and let that child hear you. I mean, defend them, you know, understand defending them. But don't defend them in front of them to where they can hear you defending the fact that they're on drugs, because they're going to use that as a manipulation to get more money or to do something to steal off you to get that. Or to even hurt the other person, you may have been defending them too. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
or in some cases, like, if the person's sober for like a month and they overhear you saying that they've done a good job, and then like a week, 2 weeks later, they slip up.
Yeah, they don't want to come talk to you, though, either.
Yeah.
Because they're scared that the rank you put them at went away and that you're going to be disappointed and everything. It is a long, stressful process to be with somebody or be around somebody who is trying to fight to be sober or trying to fight off the addictions, because addictions do change people. It changes the ways they act. It changes the way they love people. It makes them heartless. And sometimes it can make them mindless.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, definitely something that, you know, is obviously a big epidemic right now. Pandemic. Anyways, it's huge right now. A lot of people, and I don't like the idea of kids witnessing their parents fucked up, you know?
Me either. No kids should see that.
No kids should see that, because you're damaging that child, you know? If they're helping raise their siblings because you're too fucked up to come out of your bedroom,
that's not fair. All the time.
Yeah. Or not sleeping because for some reason people who are on pills like to say they never slept that night through, but yet they've been asleep the whole time. They're just fucked up and keep nodding out. I understand this because, like I said, when I was younger, I did do pills, and I like that feeling of being fucked up. I don't now. I've been sober for 5 years. I might drink wine here and there, but I don't really suffer from addiction, you know? Not like that anyways. But, you know, Bob sitting on the bus beside me might suffer from addiction and not be able to do something like that. But I'm not judging him. I'm not putting him down. I hope he gets help that he needs. I hope anybody who has addiction problems gets help, because addiction can also lead to suicide, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely don't want anybody to do anything like that. So always reach out for help.
Yes. Most, like, if they're struggling to stay sober, and that's the only way that they think that they can get out of being sober, then...
Don't put that person down, either, if they
said. No.
I've been...
Like, just be there. Like, don't say that you're... Like, yeah. Don't encourage them, like, hype them up to people. Yeah. Just keep it to yourself, and then let it ride out.
Yeah. After being in about a 6-year relationship with somebody who's been strung out in and out, you know, sometimes it's worse than the last time, sometimes a little less than the last time, I've learned that dealing with the addiction with the person is the hardest thing for that person. It's hard as hell for you as that person to go through. Because you got to watch your loved one struggle. You got to watch your loved one lie to you. You don't have to. I mean, you can leave the situation. You can. But when you really love somebody, it's really hard just to walk away from something like that. You know? You don't want to give up because the whole world gives up on you. You don't want to be that person that gives up on them. You want to be there to help them. But know when to walk away is the number one thing when that comes to that. Because sticking with somebody who does have drug addiction. In my case, I don't have kids with my spouse. So, I'm not fighting him in front of kids. When I see parents fight with children involved, it's no longer about you. It's about the child and whether or not you really want your child to even remotely have to witness it.
Yeah.
You know? And I know it's going to hurt one day to say, well, this is why your parent's not involved. You know? This is what happened. But that hurt is a lot less damaging than them watching it all the time.
Yes.
You know?
And especially if that parent comes in and out of their life.
Yeah.
Repetitively.
Yeah. I see... In some cases where people are, you know, secretively doing drugs.
Yeah.
And they don't even know remotely that their kids are very much so aware that this is what they're doing. And it is causing hate inside their household and they're unaware of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's sad. You shouldn't hate your parents. I mean, some parents are bad parents. Some parents don't deserve to be parents. And I know they're like, well, you know, if you see this, you know, call DSS, call CPS. It's not so easy when the drugs that people do nowadays are out of your system within 3 days. By the time you call them and they, you know, if they send out a warning that they're on their way, you're giving them time to get clean.
Yeah.
You know, the only ones who suffer at the hand of that is maybe your pot smokers who don't ever even smoke around their kids. You know, they may wait until they're in bed. They may
wait until they're at school.
You know, only smoke on their way to work or something. You know, hopefully they're not. Hopefully they're not using heavy equipment if they're smoking or going to work. I don't really agree to that, but I feel like in that case, it's the same as drinking and going to work. If you're going to get in trouble for drinking and going to work, you should get in trouble for going to work high.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how in the hell they do it. I
know where you work at nowadays, because if you work at a head shop, then...
Okay, yeah. But for the most part, no, I agree that it is, you know, it's the same as being drunk on the job. It's dangerous. You can impair... yourself or somebody else, and you know, if you get hurt or you hurt somebody else on the job and you have it in your system, you've messed yourself up, and you can't get like workers' comp or anything like that for getting hurt on the job. So then you're out, and it's marked. This person lost a job to drugs. Yeah. You know, so it becomes a struggle. But
to find another job and continue on with your life.
I don't agree to parents who give their kids drugs at a young age.
No, I don't either.
And when I say drugs, I don't mean pot. Like, I smoked pot from the time I was, I started smoking when I was 11, in and out.
I started smoking when I was 15.
Yeah.
15.
I kicked in a little harder when I was about 13, 14, or no, probably about 14. I kicked in a little bit harder than I was at 11, but I tried it at 11. But, no. I got to a certain point to where I was tired of hiding it from my parents. So I just told them, I'm not going to hide it from you no more. I don't want to hide it from you. I was getting in trouble hiding it from them.
Yeah.
So, granted, these people, these kids nowadays, they're getting into it where it's legal,
Yeah.
I was not. We had to fight for our right to smoke, okay? But I smoked. My parents knew I smoked. I never smoked. I was taught well enough to know not to smoke from somebody I didn't know. Never buy weed from a stranger. Always look through it and see, smell it, fiddle with it, something.
Never smoke with just a random
person. Ever.
Yeah.
And I knew a lot of people back then, so if I did wind up smoking in a group of people, I may not knew everybody, and I didn't know somebody, I would ask, is it okay to smoke? Because, if you don't trust that it's not laced with something, then I'm not going to smoke. And they're like, oh no, I'll let you know. And I'm like, okay. So, but if you're giving your kid coke, or you're giving your kid pills, or you're even letting them smoke meth, or do heroin, you're a fucking problem.
Yes, a big fucking problem.
Opiates are huge for drug addiction right now.
I mean, even if the parents not giving it to them and the kids just getting it their own.
My parents knew I was smoking weed when I was smoking weed. They also knew I was drinking when I was drinking at a young age.
My mom was, she knew, but she didn't want to know.
For the part in the parenting, I agree. Be the parent that says, if you're ever at a party and you're drunk and you don't feel safe, call me. I won't ask. I'll come get you. I'll take you home.
Yeah.
I would rather my child call me and say, hey, mom, I'm drunk. Come pick me up. I don't have a ride. I don't feel safe. My designated driver started drinking. I took their keys, maybe. I want to teach my kids. Take the keys from the designated driver if they start drinking. I don't care if you got football tackle that motherfucker. Take them goddamn keys. Because there is no sense we should lose lives from kids who are scared to call their parents and be like, hey, I'm drunk. I need you to come pick me up.
Yeah. And then the parents scold them for it.
Yeah. And make them feel shitty. And,
when you was a teenager, you went out and got drunk.
And maybe you didn't, but you knew that other kids did.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not a right choice. And maybe it's not the best decision. But talk to them. Don't scold them. Be like, look, I don't want to catch you drinking again. But if I can trust you to stay sober when you go out, okay. But if you do get drunk and you do get into a situation, always call me. I will not judge you in a manner to where you feel guilty and feel scared to call me.
Or even parents that allow their kids to drink at home because they don't want them to go out and get drunk and then their friend's drinking and they possibly die in a car wreck.
Yeah. I mean, some parents see it's best to keep them at home and do it, so that way they don't have to worry about them going out and doing it.
Yeah.
But still,
drinking is fucking clean. If you're 18, 17 years old.
Yeah, but they say drinking can impair the brain development. I don't really know. They said the same thing about weed. I don't really know. All I know is my brain developed fine, and I was drinking at an early age.
So
I don't agree to it, though. I don't want to see young kids act. Well, now that I'm older and I see young kids drunk, I'm like, oh, okay, don't do that.
Yeah, just a little annoying.
Right, just a little annoying. Go away. I don't, even if I see him in public, I'm just I want to trip you. Because I didn't act like that when I was drunk out in public.
Or stoned.
Yeah. Maybe I might have acted that way when I was drunk. I don't know.
When he left me in one moment, granted, I was 21. It was my birthday, but still.
Yeah. But it's not bad. I'm just saying, for parents who give their kids the harder drugs, you're really hurting them, because those harder drugs are really addictive.
Yes, very addictive.
Yeah. You're going to lose your kid from a pill overdose or something like that.
At an earlier age.
Yeah.
You would.
And that's not good. Don't do that. Don't feed those. And I don't care how bad they want it. Don't give them those pills. You know, keep them locked up. Keep them locked up to where they can't get their hands on it from you, at least. And keep an eye on them, because in today's world, it's bad. It's really, really bad.
Really bad.
Like, I don't like to see young people addicted to things, but I definitely don't like the idea of knowing that there's people in middle school who are addicted to heroin.
Yeah, that's just sad.
Yeah, like, I don't even know how the kid's functioning, and I don't know how you as a parent don't realize your kid may be on that. It's a very noticeable drug that they're on, just like pills. You know, either people tend to get very fucked up feeling, they kind of show it. That's a very noticeable thing.
They start slurring with their words.
Yeah, so be aware of your children, you know, to help the situation. I used to always say, when we were younger, if they legalized pot, maybe the drugs would go down, you know? I don't think that no more. I've seen people turn weed into a drug. And they turn it into an addiction. When somebody starts acting that way, it's an addiction. But
they start feeding for it.
Yeah. You gotta, like, I don't, like I said, we said, if disease or not, it's kind of 50-50. It just depends on the mental capacity of the person who is on the drugs. But understand that, like, get help. Reach out for help. Strive every day to do better. Don't reach out to your kids while you're strung out and make broken promises. Just write them letters and keep them to yourself as reminders of why you want to do better every day, because nothing hurts more in the world than being a child having to hear broken promises.
Repetitively.
Yeah. So, I mean, and if you just can't do it and you don't want to do it, it's okay. Hopefully you'll find help when you're ready, because you can't force that help. I believe that solely. You cannot force help for somebody who's addicted to drugs. They're not going to accept it.
Right.
No matter what. They might accept it while they're clean. They might accept it and feel good about themselves for being sober. But as soon as the force field's gone, they're going back to the drugs. Mm-hmm. So, well, guys, we're ringing in at about 32 minutes, so we're going to end this podcast tonight. Remember, message us, comment, reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Follow us on Anchor and all the wonderful new platforms that we have, and just let us know what you think, what your opinions are. Would you like for us to talk more about it? Got anything else to say, Hobo?
No, you just pretty much said it all. Just follow us. Let us know what you think. What you want us to hear from us.
Yeah. What's your opinions? What's your parenting skills? You know, what kind of parenting skills did you undergo as a child? Maybe you don't have kids. Don't feel like you can't reach out to us just because you ain't got kids. We don't have kids. We just deal with a lot of kids. We love a lot of kids. And we're kind of hand in being around them as they're growing up and helping mold their minds. And if you're like that, or even if you're not and you plan on having kids one day, you know, feel free to talk to us. Talk to us about how your parents might have raised you. Talk to us about how your friends raising their kids.
Or how you want to raise your kids when you have kids.
Yeah. Just reach out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Happy listening.
Come one, come all, lend an ear, and have a ball.